Today on Family Talk.
I mean, I've been in this pro-life movement for 40 years, Doc, and I have never seen a bill this protective have this much public support. We've waited 44 years. It's time to do what we've been marching about. This is the moment where we've got the Republican House, Senate, White House. We've got the new Supreme Court justices being ushered in. This is our moment, and we had better seize it because it may not come again.
A powerful call to action from the woman on the front line in the fight to end abortion. Welcome to Family Talk with your host, psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Roger Marsh. Today, Dr. Dobson will talk with Janet Porter, president and founder of Faith to Action, about the bill she initiated in Congress, which is one of the most pro-life pieces of legislation since the legalization of abortion. Let's listen now as Janet will discuss how this bill will do more to protect the unborn and how people can get involved. That's on today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Family Talk. I'm your host, Dr. James Dobson, and as you know, I've been coming to you through various microphones for the past 40 years talking about issues facing our Christian faith in the family. And today we're talking about a subject that has broken my heart for many years now, and probably most of you, and it has to do with the vile practice of abortion. Nearly 60 million babies have been murdered. I use that word advisedly. And millions of lives have been affected as a result of Roe v. Wade, that Supreme Court decision back in January of 1973. I was riding down the freeway in California coming from USC School of Medicine when the news broke on the radio that the Supreme Court had legalized abortion, not only at an early age, but also through the entire gestation period. And that has been so sad. And in fact, we have fought so many battles and lost so many battles. We won a few. But the truth of the matter is, it's been a long slog. But now there's a glimmer of hope, and there's a piece of legislation making its way through Congress that appears to be one of the most significant pro-life bills in the past three or four decades. This legislation has the number H.R. 490. I hope you will remember that. And the woman responsible for it, more than anybody else, is a frontline warrior and has been for many years. She has fought so many battles for the family, not just the sanctity of human life, but many others. And it is just a pleasure to have her on the phone with us today to talk about the exciting possibility of a piece of legislation that could reduce dramatically the number of babies aborted, and that it would probably pass muster with the courts. I'm talking about Janet Porter. You've heard her here before. You will hear from her again. She's one of my favorites, and a woman that I have just felt such an affinity for because of the work that she does. She's the founder and president of Faith to Action. She received her master's degree in communication from Cleveland State University. Janet has also served as the legislative director of Ohio Right to Life, and then she's been the national director of the Center for Reclaiming America. She's also appeared on NBC's Today Show. I don't understand that one, but she has, and 2020 and Fox News. And Janet has been married to her husband, David, for 9 years. Janet, it's such a pleasure to have you back on the program with us today.
Thank you so much, Dr. Dobson. It is such an honor to be on with you again, and I wanted to say publicly thank you, because when we first came up with this idea to protect babies whose heartbeats can be heard, you were one of the you were the first one actually to broadcast this and let the world know that we had a state bill at that time to protect babies with beating hearts. That was 7 years ago. We now have a federal bill, and I just want to say thank you for standing with me all these years.
Well, today we're going to do it again. Tell us about this piece of legislation. What would it do?
Sure. It's very simple. The way Congressman King likes to put it is, if a heartbeat is detected, the baby is protected. That's the heartbeat bill. So if a heartbeat is heard, then that child is legally protected. And according to the founder of the pro-life movement, Dr. Jack Wilkie, who sadly passed away before he got to see his dream of the heartbeat bill becoming law, he said this bill will protect 95% of the babies who are facing abortion today. And it'll probably protect a lot more, because the abortion mills, as you know, they're motivated by money, and many of them are not likely to stay open for a fraction of their business. So it's going to protect babies whose heartbeats can be heard. It's going to probably close down a lot of abortion mills. And as technology increases, we'll be able to hear that heartbeat at earlier and earlier ages and protect even more babies. So it's a bill whose time has come. We now have 168 co-sponsors and counting as of this recording, which is more than two-thirds of the Republican members of Congress who've put their name on top of this bill because they want to see babies with beating hearts protected by law.
How early in the gestation period is the heartbeat detectable?
Sure. It actually begins to beat at 18 to 21 days, but we don't hear the heartbeat until 6 to 8 weeks, typically, right now. The bill says that you test the heartbeat according to standard medical practice, which means that as technology increases, that standard medical practice will get better and better, and we'll hear that heartbeat at even younger and younger ages.
I want to make sure everybody heard you on those numbers again. Give us the percent of the Republicans who are in favor of this legislation and the Democrats.
Sure. You know, not only did two-thirds of the Republican members of Congress say they support the heartbeat bill, 86% of Republicans, they actually put their name on top of the bill as co-sponsors to say, we want to be a co-author of this bill.
How about Democrats?
Democrats, we actually have over the public support. This is crazy. No one's going to believe this, but a scientific poll from George Barna showed that 55% of Democrats favor the heartbeat bill. The question, if a doctor is able to detect the heartbeat of an unborn baby, that baby should be legally protected. And 7 out of 10 overall, but 55% of Democrats favor the heartbeat bill to become law. I mean, I've been in this pro-life movement for 40 years, Doc, and I have never seen a bill this protective have this much public support.
Now is the time to go for it, isn't it?
It is. We've waited 44 years. It's time to do what we've been marching about. This is the moment where we've got the Republican House, Senate, White House. We've got the new Supreme Court justices being ushered in. This is our moment, and we had better seize it because it may not come again. I mean, for 44 years, Doctor, we've been marching to end abortion. We're not to regulate abortion. That's one of the things that Dr. Wilkie said when he got in this. Let me read you a quote that we've just put out in a letter we've delivered, hand-delivered, to the vice president. And Vice President Pence said that he will put this on the president's desk. And this is what Dr. Wilkie said. When I founded the pro-life movement, it wasn't to regulate how abortions would be done. It was to bring the abortion killing to an end. We have waited too long, and that wait has cost us too much. And so while we've been asking Congress to give us a millimeter of a loaf of bread, 44 years later, we wonder why all we have is crumbs. That at this point, even today, 44 years into the battle, we're still committing about a million abortions a year in this country. Some in the pro-life movement look to that and think that's somewhere close to success. But it is a far cry from success when you have a million lives, even in 2017, that are lost by a procedure that, as you mentioned, is brutal, it's horrific, it's completely unnecessary, and this bill, the heartbeat bill, will actually protect nearly every child and all the children whose heartbeats can be heard.
You know, Jack Wilkie was one of my dear friends. I miss him. Today, he just had the passion for the unborn child. He and I did a film together a long, long time ago. It was in my backyard. It was actually done on video, and I think it was 1981, 1982, sometime in there. It was called Assignment Life. And that went on to be made into a film, and it was seen by millions of people around the country. Jack had a great influence on me in those very early days. And it's a shame that he's gone, but we have the obligation now to carry on. And you're telling me that this was his dream, this piece of legislation, H.R. 490?
In fact, he wrote a letter to Governor Kasich, who heartlessly vetoed the heartbeat bill. Once we passed it in Ohio, John Kasich heartlessly vetoed it, but not before a letter was delivered to him from Dr. Wilkie that said his one desire. He was knowing he was getting older. He was basically in his 80s, and he said the thing I want to see before I die is the heartbeat bill signed into law. And John Kasich turned his back on Dr. Wilkie and the babies, 20,000 babies a year in the state of Ohio that bill would have saved. Dr. Wilkie was such a close friend of mine. He sang at my wedding. Just such a great, great mentor. And another mentor of mine has also passed away, and that's Phyllis Schlafly. And the thing I just told Congressman Trent Franks when I was saying, look, we can do more than protect just a few babies with the bills they're considering. We can protect nearly all of them. And I mentioned that Phyllis Schlafly was one that took on the ERA. You remember the freight train that was unstoppable. She stood against a Congress that was completely opposed to her. All but 28 in Congress opposed her and favored the ERA. All but about 8 in the Senate fought her. The White House and 3 administrations. She had not one center of power and influence. The media was against her. She didn't have an internet. She didn't have conservative talk shows. They didn't have cell phones. There wasn't even a fax machine. And yet, when Phyllis Schlafly stood, she won. And yet here we sit, Doctor. We have a Republican pro-life House of Representatives. We have a pro-life Republican Senate. We have a pro-lifer in the White House. We've got pro-life judges being ushered onto a new Supreme Court. And we won't even try to end abortion? That's unthinkable. And so we've got a bill right now. We're for any bill that protects children. But the bill that seems to be the one everyone's pushing for is a bill that will protect babies who feel pain. Well, that bill will protect, according to the CDC, that's a 5-month bill, protect babies after 5 months along. That'll protect, according to the CDC, 1.3% of the babies. We're for that, but you know what? We can do better than that. When we've got the House, the Senate, the White House, the courts, we've got a vice president who's vowed to send Roe to the ash heap of history. This is the moment, and I know that 168 members, more than two-thirds of the Republican members of Congress, they want to seize this Kairos moment of mercy we've been given, and we just need the leadership to say, yes, we will have a hearing on the heartbeat bill, and yes, we will bring the most popular bill in Congress to the floor.
I think you are telling me that there is another bill that competes with H.R. 490, and it may draw votes away from it, and we need to make it clear that we're supporting H.R. 490, even though some of our good friends have signed on to both of these bills, but this is the one that counts.
Yeah, it's the one, and the way I told it in Ohio numbers, when we talked to the governor and said, look, there's a bill that's a pain bill before you. It'll save, in Ohio, 125 babies. But the heartbeat bill in the state would save 20,000 babies. So the choice is, do you want to save a school bus or two of children, or would you rather save a stadium full of children? And that's the question at the federal level, that this bill, the heartbeat bill, would actually save the population of Atlanta, Georgia, every year, twice. And so that's really what we're looking at. Remember the hurricanes. My husband was right in the eye of the storm there for a while in the center of Florida. What was happening is everyone was looking at Fort Lauderdale. They're looking at Miami. They're looking at Tampa, Naples, and the Keys. Well, this bill, the heartbeat bill, would save the combined population of Miami, of Tampa, of Naples, of the Keys. This is the bill whose time has come, and it will be not only a bill that will protect nearly every child, it's a bill that will educate America on this baby's beating heart. I'll tell you one of the things we did in Ohio, Doc, you'll like this. We billed this as the youngest to ever testify. We brought in the youngest to ever testify in the state legislature and a bunch of women who were pregnant. And we hooked up a mobile ultrasound. One was a woman who was pregnant with a baby they had named Baby Haley. She was 9 weeks pregnant. And this little baby, we zoomed in the committee room on a screen on this baby's beating heart. It was red, beating on the screen. Of course, the pro-aborts went wild and said this was terrible and Janet's circus. But when they put the camera in my face, I said, isn't it sad that to defend your position, you have to deny science? You have to run from technology. How heartless is that? And then when it came time for us to testify in the Senate, they said, well, we won't allow a mobile ultrasound. That's okay. We just played the video testimony of little baby Haley in the Senate. And at just the right moment, the pregnancy worker said, the House heard her heart, but the Senate sees her face. And in came walking now born baby Haley, the same baby
that testified
in the House, was now 9 weeks old outside of the womb. And that was the picture, and that was the message that got out to everyone in the state. And what happened was, we know of babies that were saved even before it was brought to a vote, because it's like plastering a billboard, in this case federally, across the country that says abortion stops a beating heart. But in this case, with the heartbeat bill, instead of abortion stopping a beating heart will stop abortion.
Janet, that legislation passed in Ohio, didn't it?
It did, last December. And actually, Doc, we had the votes to override the veto of the heartless veto of Governor John Kasich, but it was during the Christmas season, and we couldn't get the members to come back. Some were in Europe, some were in Hawaii. We couldn't get them to make a trip back to vote to protect 20,000 babies a year. It's very sad, but we're going at it again. It's been introduced, not only reintroduced for the fourth time, I think we're up to in Ohio, but we've got the votes, and we have the votes to override it if a veto comes again.
I called you a warrior. Man, I'm telling you, that's what you are. You are unrelenting, and you're not going to stop until we have a big victory on this issue, aren't you?
I think we're going to get one, Doc, because we had a meeting with a member of the White House staff, a domestic policy advisor to the vice president, and it just so happened, God ordered our steps, that we ran into none other than Vice President Mike Pence. And we had a good 15 minutes, 20 minutes to talk with him. I showed him the letter that I'm grateful that you signed, calling for a vote of the heartbeat bill. And the thing the vice president said, he just said, I love this. I love this bill because it's so simple. People get it. No matter where you are on the issue, people understand that a beating heart is a sign of human life. And that's why when we took the George Barna poll, we saw 7 out of 10 in America favor the heartbeat bill. Because everybody gets it, that if there's a heartbeat, there's life.
Janet, you're mentioning Phyllis Schlafly is like going down the list of the Heroes Hall of Fame for me. I met her in 1981, and I attended the second ever event called Council for National Policy. I've been in that organization ever since. And she was there, and I went up and introduced myself to her. And she had enormous influence on me. There are four or five people, Chuck Colson is one of them, but four or five people that really prepared me for the battle. And somebody's gotten a hold of you. I don't know who it is, but you and I both have the same views on most family issues, and I'm grateful for that. I'll bet you Phyllis was one of them, right?
She absolutely was. She was a mentor of mine, and interestingly, this bill was birthed at her funeral. I actually sat next to Congressman Steve King at Phyllis Schlafly's funeral, where President Trump, then candidate Trump, spoke. And At the sermon, the message from the priest said that the baton is now in our hands. And Congressman King leaned over to me and said, we have our charge, don't we? Mm-hmm. And the next week, they had asked me to have the honor of emceeing her memorial service, where I introduced King and Congressman King and Congressman Gohmert and Ralph Reed and so many leaders. And by the end of the memorial service, Congressman King agreed to introduce a federal heartbeat bill. And I think Phyllis would be very honored that that the baton is now being passed into those who are willing to finish the work that she and Dr. Wilkie and so many others began.
What was the lame excuse that Governor Kasich used for vetoing this bill?
Well, it's interesting. One of the excuses off the excuse tree was that he better kill the bill because the court might kill it. I mean, that's basically what he's saying is he doesn't know that it's constitutional. I don't remember voting for him for judge, but he decided to kill the bill because the court might not uphold it. He also said it would cost taxpayers money to defend this, which is completely untrue, because I called another one of our friends, Matt Staver, the founder of Liberty Council, and he offered to defend the state heartbeat bill for free. So all of those excuses were really nothing but just that. They were excuses. And again, we know one thing. If we don't take the bill to the court, we'll never see the court uphold it. The only way to guarantee failure is to never try, and that's what the governor unfortunately did.
Well, tell us what the plan is. Where do you go from here?
Well, the plan is to tell the Speaker, Speaker Paul Ryan, that we want this bill voted on. We want a hearing, and we want it brought to the floor for a vote. And so we're encouraging people to call Speaker Paul Ryan, and I was just at a meeting this morning where they said, you know the best way in? They told me you want to fax them. If you fax the Speaker, a lot of times the mail gets held up in other centers where they go through it and they screen it, and a lot of it doesn't make it to his desk. But a fax machine is right in his office. It rolls right off as the paper comes in, and they will hand it to the Speaker if a fax is sent. So we're encouraging people to call Speaker Ryan and to fax him and to basically say that the time has come. I mean, let's just think about this. They've got double zeros on the scoreboard right now. There's a lot of frustrated people who are very upset that we haven't done things like repeal Obamacare and all of these things. By the way, 81% of evangelicals who came out to vote to put not only Donald Trump in the White House, but to give Republicans the control of the House and the Senate. And so they're looking to see, are they going to get what they voted for? Are they going to keep the promises they've made? And a lot of these members, they've been making these promises for decades. And it's time to bring the killing to an end. And so all the Speaker has to do is recognize 2/3 of his Republican members want this bill so badly they put their name on top of the bill. So let's give it a hearing. Let's tell the world about the baby's beating heart. And let's bring it to a vote, because we know the votes are there if only they will call it.
And ultimately, we've got to get a hold of McConnell, too, and let him know how we feel about this legislation.
Sure. We want to reach out to the majority leader, but most on the Hill are giving me the advice of first let's pass it in the House, and then we're going to put the pressure on in the Senate where they are hesitant, even more hesitant, to do things that are right, that need to be done, as it seems, especially on the life issue. So if we get it through the House, we can then build the pressure on the majority leader and those in the Senate to come and do what they said they'd do, and that is protect human life. That's what the campaign promises they've been running on for decades. We just want them to keep them. We're not satisfied with a millimeter down the field. We can go the distance. We can actually nearly end abortion, at least for those babies whose beating hearts can be heard, and we can do it now. We don't need to wait. We don't need to give it any more time. The time is now. God's given us this moment of mercy, and we need to seize it.
All right, let's talk about the phone numbers and the fax numbers and so on. Give the details.
Sure. You can call Speaker Ryan, and what you want to do is just tell him to bring the heartbeat bill to a vote. H.R. 490 needs to be brought to a committee hearing and to a floor vote, and his number of Speaker Ryan is 202-225-3031, 202-225-3031. But as I was told, the fax machine, if we could get personal faxes sent in to the Speaker, that's going to make a big difference. And here's his fax number, 202-225-3393, 202-225-3393. If you want to call and fax the other members of leadership in addition, you can send a free form fax to the Speaker and send one to leadership at f2a.org. That's Faith to Action's website, F as in faith, the number 2, A as in action.org. You can click a button and send that fax right away, but I encourage you, if you're able, to send a personal fax, because it'll have more of an impact when the Speaker gets it in his hands.
And we'll put all those numbers on our website so people can catch it there. Well, Janet, we're out of time. Keep us informed of what happens in Washington. We will continue to pass that information along to our listeners, and I appreciate you. Keep up the good work.
So grateful, Doctor. If we keep those phones and faxes moving, we're going to keep hearts beating. So grateful for your help.
You have been listening to Dr. James Dobson's interview with Janet Porter, founder and president of Faith to Action, talking about her passionate drive to protect the unborn child through the bill H.R. 490 here on today's edition of Family Talk. If you'd like to learn more about Faith to Action or H.R. 490, head to drjamesdobson.org. While online, be sure to head over to Twitter as well and give us a follow. You can find our profile by searching Dr. James Dobson FT. Retweet any of our broadcasts to your followers or tweet at us what you've enjoyed about today's broadcast. Again, search Dr. James Dobson FT on Twitter and click follow. Be sure to listen again tomorrow as we will bring you a classic show featuring Eric Metaxas and Dr. James Dobson as they discuss Eric's book, Bonhoeffer. I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks for listening to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Have a great day.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Hi, this is Dr. Tim Clinton. Thanks for listening to Family Talk. If you're hurting, you got troubles in your life, going through deep waters, we'd like to talk with you. You can call us toll-free right now, 877-732-6825. That number again, toll-free, 877-732-6825. Or reach us from our website at drjamesdobson.org. We're here to help you.